Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and we're sure glad that you tuned in to Raising Expectations. Glad to have you with us tonight and looking forward to a really good show. And we never take it for granted. You're part of our family. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for writing in. Thanks for your prayers, and know that your prayers are always important to us, and we pray for you, too, very, very much. We're all believers. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we know that he died on the cross for our sins, huh? And the great thing about that is we know he's coming again someday. And in the meantime, he's working in our lives every day, and the whole name of this show is Raising Expectations, and we know who can do that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we hope you know him as your Savior. If not, we've got lots of things we can do to help you with that. In the meantime, tonight we have a great guest. So we're going to skip right through very quickly our team. We have the most wonderful people. They bless our lives. I'm Pastor Joe and my wife, Melba. She's right here on the right. Isn't she cute? Anyway, I want to keep going now. As we get going, if we go from here in our home all the way to the West Coast near Lompoc, California, actually in Lompoc near San Barbara, we have Dr. Paul Hall, and he's right there, and he's been a friend for many, many years. He's a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's a teacher, and he's a man with a cold, so keep praying that we can get rid of that cold, and he gets to feeling a lot better very soon, because he's a tremendous blessing to everyone. Good to see you, Paul.
Okay. Thanks. Good to see all of you.
That's right. That's right. Hey, we're going to jump all together and go all the way to the south part of the East Coast, which would make it the Southeast South, which is in Dalton, Georgia. And right there, we have two of our favorite people in the world. That's Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. And they live there in Dalton. And that's Stephanie there on the left. She's a tremendous lady of God. She is a business lady. She's a health lady. She knows how to help counsel people. She does a wonderful job being a vessel of the Lord to help so many people. And a great mom. You should see the kids. It's a great team they've got there. And on her left is the guy she's also done a great job on. And that's her husband. That's Dr. Craig Thayer, and we call him Tank. And Craig is a tremendous surgeon. He's done so many different things this way, helping people. And they together team up. It's a wonderful thing when you put two together like that, what God can do. They've done mission work. He's done surgery. They've been in the Caribbean. They've been to Africa. They've done a lot of things like this. But most of all, they're great parents. They're great representatives of Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody loves them. And we're just part of that team. Right, guys? So we're so glad you're there tonight. And so if we all join together, we're going to come back to the we're going to fly over all those smaller states there. They're not quite as big as South Central America, which would be the great state of Texas. And that would be in the city of McKinney. And that's where one of our favorite pastors is. And that is Pastor Ron Greer, who made it back on a special thing tonight. He's good to have him with us tonight. He's always a pleasure and a joy to be around. Love this guy. He's a great counselor also. He works with Man in the Mirror out of, I think it's in Florida, but he handles the state of Texas in many different ways. Wonderful man of God. He's done so many things for God in his life. And these people right here are such a blessing in my life. And this lady is such a blessing to my life. I'm a very blessed person. So we want to share those blessings with you as we get on with our guest tonight. Our guest is a wonderful guy, and you always look for him. He's part of our family. His name is, as you know, Pastor Will Hobbs, and he's from the great city of Midland, Texas now, at Kelview Heights Baptist Church. There's his wonderful family, his wife, Lauren. Are those two of the cutest girls you've ever seen in your life? And I just wonder, every time I look at them, I just want to laugh and give them a hug. There they are. And they've got a wonderful family, a wonderful ministry. And tonight he's going to be sharing with us about the faithfulness of God. Can you think of anything better to look at tonight than the faithfulness of God, to know that whatever we're facing, whether it's in our home, in our family, in our church, in our state, in our nation, the Middle East, around the world, we know that the faithfulness of God is there. So we want to welcome Will to be with us tonight, and we want to give him the great famous round of applause. Will, welcome to Raising Expectations. We're your family, you're part of the team here. Just jump in there. It's good to see you and share with us, would you?
Yeah, great to be back with you guys. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Good.
We talked a little bit about it earlier, but we didn't get too long to talk about it. Yeah, Joe and I talked a little bit about some ideas for tonight and what we could discuss, what we could navigate. I think the faithfulness of God is a great broad topic, so obviously we can discuss anything under that umbrella. That's a massive... I mean, Joe, we could spend a year of shows on that one topic.
That's right.
God is so faithful. So I want to set it up with a scripture verse just to set the tone for it. And then Joe and I were also talking about a few ideas to talk about the world scene and how we see God's faithfulness playing out there, the home scene and how we see God's faithfulness playing out in our country and in our homes, and then the church scene. How do we see God's faithfulness playing out in the church? And how, as a church, local church, can we be faithful? How can we be obedient to God and be salt and light in this world that needs to see God's faithfulness? Because they see a lot of the opposite. So here's the verse, Joe. There are so many great verses and passages in God's word, but here's the one that really stuck out to me. One of the things that led me, that made me think of this verse, and I know you guys have probably heard it as soon as I start reading it. I'll put it on a, I don't even remember doing this. When I was younger, my stepdad's dad, and his name was Edward Helbert, and he was a World War II veteran. He went in on D-Day. He was with the unit that was not, no one else from that unit went in on D-Day. Can't remember the numbers of the units. They were supposed to go in on day number two. But he and a small group went day one so that they could be comms behind lines, basically between Operation Market Garden and the invasion of the beach. And he was captured very early by Germans. Horrible story, what he had to endure. Great man of God. Never got bitter at God. Why? Because he trusted God's faithfulness. You know, y'all have heard some of the POW stories. There's a great one by Jerry Curtis, Colonel Curtis, called, he was Air Force, Vietnam, called Under the Cover of Light. And if you haven't read that book, it's fantastic. He talks about surviving the Hanoi Hilton. They called it that. That's a...
right.
Not the Hilton. That was their joke name for it. And they learned... He discussed how they learned to communicate through tap code and all that. So the whole time, they're seeing the faithfulness of God. Well, my step-grandfather saw the faithfulness of God throughout, even when he was a POW. You think, well, why is God faithful? I'm a prisoner of war, but God led him through it and taught him amazing things. I'm telling you, it's, he's got stories for, we could do a whole show on his stories. Mm-hmm. So, I made a bookmark. I don't remember doing this when I was a kid. I made a bookmark for him and laminated it. And obviously this sounds like it was inspired by my mom, a craft that was inspired by my mom, probably for maybe a birthday gift or Christmas or something like that. And at the time, you're a kid, so I put some grass and probably a leaf from a tree in my yard on a piece of paper, made, cut it into a bookmark, and I wrote this verse, and I laminated it, and I gave it to him as a bookmark, you know, with the little string hanging out, thread, whatever it's called. And then I found out years later, he actually used this as a bookmark in his Bible, as his mark. And I found it out when he died. And I don't remember the details, but I think my stepdad asked me, hey, do you want this? You want this bookmark back? He'd been using it as the bookmark in his Bible. So really cool. It says Isaiah 40 verse 8, it says, The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And I don't even remember making the bookmark, but maybe a little bit, but it was really cool to get that back. Now I have it, and I keep it in my work bag, and I look at it, and it's a neat, I don't get sentimental about very many things at all, but it's a neat memento.
Yes.
God's faithfulness. I'm reminded when I think of his story. I'm reminded when I think of what's going on in the world scene, the home scene, our churches and what's going on there. Obviously mixed with some defeat, we do face a very real enemy, but the whole time you see God's faithfulness through all of it. And so, Joe, I didn't know, and any of y'all, which one we wanted to start on. Joe and I had discussed the world scene, and he had thrown out the example of Secretary of State Marco Rubio's talk to the European nations as just maybe an initial idea. I didn't watch the whole thing. I only watched a recap of it on Daily Wire, but I didn't know if any of y'all had watched it. Apparently, he got a standing ovation, and he was just explaining to them. Obviously, they're frustrated at us in a lot of ways and have been, and Trump, our president, pushes, President Trump, excuse me, pushes very hard. Obviously, he's a tough negotiator, but I think Rubio did. I didn't watch the whole thing. I think he did a good job of smoothing things over, and it's a sign, hopefully, of progress with the other European nations and our allies over there for what we need to do. Did any of y'all watch that? I don't know.
I actually did not
see part of it. Part of it.
One thing I want to say before we go there, if it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a couple mentors, you know, spiritual. I have a career one. And so the career one, she That's recommended good. Three books to me, and I just blindly bought them. And I got one on audiobook, and it's called Man's Search for Meaning. And it also is in World War II. And it's a psychiatrist who was a prisoner of war. But what was really interesting about the book was the perspective was on the resilience of humanity, not so much on the atrocities. He does touch on that, but I'm very, very sensitive to war. I don't do well with it. Like, he loves all that history. It makes me sick.
Yes.
But very profound, kind of like what you were saying about your step grandpa, the resiliency that people can demonstrate and the will to live. And this particular man, Victor, was also a believer. And it's very impressive and very humbling to hear what people go through and what helps them stay faithful and stay committed and encourage their neighbor and that kind of thing. So I just want to share that. That one is definitely worth reading as well.
Sounds like an awesome book. And Colonel Curtis's book was interesting. I won't go into the details of tap code, but it's basically a way to communicate. They couldn't even see, and nor did they know how many other people were in cells around them. They were in isolation at first. And so they would do tap code and communicate. Well, the guy one wall over, at some point they had saved enough bread, and I don't know if it was water or juice. It was probably just water. I can't remember the details, but one time Jerry Curtis is witnessing to this guy. And he said, "No, I'm a believer. I know Christ." And they did communion together. They're not in the same room. And if the Viet Cong had heard them doing it, they would have been severely beaten just for getting caught doing the tap code. But it was cool. It was God's faithfulness. I can't even see you, but we're having communion, not visually, but spiritually. You're on the other side of the wall. And it was just, I mean, yeah, God's faithfulness showed up. Like you said, personal resiliency, man, it's just so cool. That sounds like a good one.
It is. It's a good one.
Yeah. Anybody else? Have y'all heard what's going on in Iran? So apparently there's huge revival going on there. We know that the government is apparently, we think that the government's killing protesters. So that's horrible. But throughout all this, it has something to do with China. I missed a few of the details, but a lot of Chinese nationals are in that area. And there's an underground church movement in China. Many of us know this, very strong, by the way, despite Chinese Communist Party government. Mm-hmm. the CPP or whatever it's called. And yeah, and they are leading Iranians to the underground church. They're basically helping bring it. It was already in Iran, but they're strengthening it, leading people to Christ. It's been amazing. Have y'all heard about any of that? Of course, our media is great at talking about, oh, all the bad things, right, Stephanie? All the bad things, all the death. And they want you to, if it bleeds, it leads. And then, but what else is going on there is, I don't know how many untold numbers of people are coming to Christ and being discipled and mentored, in part, in large part, thanks to Chinese believers. Have y'all heard about any of that?
Actually, it's been going on for a few years. One of the huge
Yeah.
explosion before the protests. We have an organization that's actually stationed here, actually here in right here, right near Dallas. It's called Iran Alive. When
Yes.
I first got
Yes.
involved with them, it's an online church, but they have under kind of a hidden churches as well. Last time I
I
had
think I
contact
met
with
the
them,
guy that run that started that, Ron.
yeah,
I think I did.
he attended Prestonwood for a while, on and off, he and his wife. Yeah. So met him and then met him through a friend from Wisconsin who was a Iranian, well, a Persian, let me get that right.
Excuse
He's
me.
not Iranian.
Yeah, Persian.
And the first thing that that was going on at the time, you had Muslims who were coming to Christ in droves. They were seeing visions of the man in the robe. He told me to come to you. Of course, being a good Baptist, I was skeptical, going, eh, yeah. But
What's
I met
happening?
a number of people, and after a while talking to different missionaries from there. There were hundreds and hundreds of them, but his church at the time had grown by I think 100 and some odd thousand people, so one of the largest number of Christians at the time converts in Iran in centuries.
Wow.
And even now you have through both the Chinese, who actually the interesting thing is the Chinese came to Iran because they're taking advantage of Iran. They're building roads to the coast and for shipping, and what they
Okay.
end up doing is now the Iranians owe them, right? So they have so many people
Interesting.
there, but they
You
got
actually know way
converted
more
there.
about this than me. That's great detail.
Oh yeah, they got converted there, and then so now you have somewhere around 2.1 million Muslim converts to Christianity in the last probably 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's fascinating, fascinating. But again, it goes back to the point, right? It's you have constantly in Scripture God assuring us of His faithfulness to His people,
Yeah.
and you look at the times when he makes the statement or he gives the word, it's usually in the midst of them doing something really stupid. You go, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord endures. I mean, never ceases. His mercies are everlasting. They never come to an end. That, they're new every morning. And you look at Lamentations when he gives the passage, right? And you go, what's the context? And you wait a minute. What
Yeah, how's
in the
that
midst of
fit?
all this, you talk about God's faithfulness. And the same thing in Exodus. So even when we are faithless, as he says, he is faithful.
Right.
And even when it seems completely hopeless to us, in the middle of a country taken over by a horrible, wicked
Yeah.
revolution,
Yeah.
that there's no hope at all. And yet, and still, in defiance of that and of our own imagination, God has these little small groups of people in the country, and He's faithful to them, and He uses them faithfully to spread His church in spite of
That's
all
right.
the folks involved. Yes.
Spider.
Sorry. Now we'll pass the plate now. Go
That's so good. And
ahead.
Ron, when you were talking, I thought back to that passage in Isaiah. It doesn't say that, it doesn't just say that God's word doesn't go away. It's contrasting it against the grass and the flowers that fade. It
Yes,
doesn't even fade. It doesn't even
right.
diminish.
Yeah,
God's faithfulness doesn't even diminish or slow
at
down.
all.
It's And everything else would seem like it has to, because you think, well, they're under Sharia law.
Right.
They're not supposed to convert. If they do, they're in danger. Their life may be in jeopardy.
That's
But
not maybe, it is.
yes. Yeah, if they get
Sorry.
caught, right?
Yeah.
Exactly, and it's even starting to happen in England. I just listened to
Yes.
a podcast episode from a gentleman who is a believer from Islam to Christ, and he grew up in England. He's Pakistani, but he grew up in England, and there's a large population there, and I think Birmingham, but I can't remember which neighborhood for sure. And yeah, he in England. I mean, these guys just beat the ever-loving dog out of him. Probably would have finished him off, Ron, if it hadn't been for a couple of guys walking by that saw it and yelled at him and stopped him. And I don't know, they were so he had to leave. I don't know if he's over here now or if he's in hiding somewhere. But yeah, it's just and you think, okay, this is in Iran. No, this is in England.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
But God's faithfulness is still there.
Yeah.
So let's suppose we've got people listening to the podcast and we feel comfortable talking about faithfulness,
Yeah.
okay? And we can give some definition to that term, that faithfulness. But y'all jump in because I'd like to know what you think. What is God's faithfulness and how is his faithfulness displayed, okay? And how is that faithfulness reflected through the life of us as believers, okay? So I get a little meat to chew on because I think, we can talk about, I mean, I think the assumption is we say, well, God is faithful, and people go, well, yeah, sure he is. But what does that mean? What does that mean?
Yes.
So jump in. I'd like to hear what y'all think. To
Tank, what do you
deliver
think?
on his promises is what I would
First
say.
of
Joe, go
all,
ahead.
no, Tank was going to jump
Faith
in there.
Oh, Tank, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't see you, buddy.
No, faith to God is not a noun, it's a verb. You have to demonstrate your faith. Like the guy on the cross next to Jesus. Originally, I always got like my head, man, he just said, take me with you. I was like, okay, well, how is that a demonstration of his faith? It wasn't that. It was when he rebuked the other thief, said, you know what you did. You deserve this. That was a repentance. So by his action of repenting his sin for being a thief, he demonstrated his faith to Jesus, which bought him. Didn't buy him. Jesus gave him as a gift, grace, mercy, like Ephesians. But by grace, by faith, we get grace, right? But it's a verb. So I think we need to show that. We need to, what's our duty? What's the commandment on the mount, right? Multiply. We need to be the light. So add all those. I forget what your last question was, Paul, but yeah, three part
How's that
question.
demonstrated in the life of
You know,
believers?
when you get older, there's okay.
What was the last question, Paul?
So how do we demonstrate, how's that reflected in our lives in a very confusing world, that God is faithful? Because sometimes they don't see it in us, and so how do they get past us, and I guess what I'm trying to say is it's just too easy. It's too easy to say to somebody who's hurting, well, God is faithful. And I've had people bat that one back before and say, well, yeah, well, if he was so faithful, then why am I blah, 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 and I think those are good practical questions because I think Christians really need to have an answer to that. We can appeal to scripture and we can point out where God has been faithful in scripture, even when people were unfaithful, as Ron talked about. So there's no lack of evidence scripturally. But like I was always curious in seminary, we had a class called practical theology. Well, if it's not practical, I mean, why in the world
Are
are
we
we
doing
talking
it?
Right.
about it? Rest of the theology.
Yeah, practical theology as opposed to impractical theology.
Right.
How are miracles practical?
I think it's easy for us as believers to get trampled sometimes from what we see, what we observe, what we hear, and where we're getting that information. For example, if you would have told me that there were 2.1 million conversions, I haven't heard that. I mean, that's news to me. And that's cause to rejoice. But I guess getting down to it in our lives, how do we reflect to a hungry, dying world without Christ? How do we reflect to that world the faithfulness of God in our lives? You know, we, of course, we have testimonies, but do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
How do we
really
make it practical? How do we get the rubber on the road for people who are really searching for some answers? Okay.
I think people, I never talked to so many people in my life as I have in the last few years. Mm. And I think the people who have been run over and parked on, those are the people that want to hear more. And I believe I hear you saying, and I believe I felt it also, I can know all the phrases, all the verses, all the texts, all the stories, and I can be profound in front of people and they're going to say, ooh, but actually they don't. They want to know what Paul's feeling here. And it goes back to something that's so simple. It's so simple, sometimes I'm embarrassed with God when I talk to him about it. But he said, look how I made you. I made you with a body, with a soul, with a spirit. Why in the world did I choose to do that? Well, very simply, without being theological, nobody wants to hear all that when they're hurting. Then when they really catch on, they can't wait to devour it. But the body is my spacesuit. I walk around planet Earth in a spacesuit called the body. It gets bigger and smaller depending on how much I eat. But, you know, when I take it to somebody, they relate to that. And I say, that's your body. You got a soul. What is that? Your soul. That's your mind and your emotion and your will. That makes you who you are and unique to nobody else. That's still the same guy that's getting beat down, stepped on, and you feel like you want to cuss and quit. Mm-hmm. You got one more thing. You've got a spirit. Well, what is that? Inside of those, as it says in Colossians 5, you have an empty spot until you know God. And you won't know God unless you listen. And you're not going to get to see God through me. And I say, very simply, you are crushed right now. You're hurting. You don't want simple answers. You don't want a thesis. You don't want this, that, or the other. Just go talk to him alone. How do I do that? I don't know. Figure it out. And you know what? 9 out of 10 times people come back. I've had them storm into my office. I've had them call me. They come back and they say, Joe, I think God spoke to me. Then the door's open to do what Paul's so good at also. Let me lay it out for you. But at that point, they've decided, I want to hear. And you know what? Here's the last thing I'm done. In the midst of the pain, whatever it is, with no answers at all in their hands, they water up to me and they say, I get it. He's there. Then you've got them right where the Holy Spirit wants you to be able to share with them. I think that's what people are hurting.
I'll take a shot at it also. I think in my mind, when I think remember the passage anyway. So the idea is that God's faithfulness is a display of God's perfect loyalty and his perfect consistency to his true character, right? Character and his word. So if God's faithfulness is his absolute perfect loyalty to his character, to who he says he is and to his word, then me as a follower, as his child, faithfulness to me is that I live out as perfectly as I possibly can, consistently as I can, that which I say about the God that I'm a part of. So for instance, if I think to me, it looks like I have neighbors, I have people I run into, or people I'm around for a period of time, right? What does God do? What does God do? What does his character say about someone's hurting or just someone who's lost or someone, you know, just that one person there, right? Mm-hmm. He finds ways to make himself known to them. That's part of his loving character. He does it in nature. He does it in everything. Mm-hmm. He makes himself known. Right. So my deal is, no matter where I am and who I'm with, I want to find ways to make God known to them, make it known to them that I know of this God. And when in such circumstances where like you talked about, Joe, and people are hurting or they're angry, I'm still going to look and act and revert back to the character of God. What is God's response toward this individual who is completely whacked out and angry and whatever else it is, right? Do I Do I buck up and force myself on me or fight? No. You know,
Yeah,
I
exactly.
try to reason as best I possibly can. And my reason for reasoning isn't it just to simply calm them down. My reasoning is to get them to a point where they understand there's something better than what you're experiencing and dealing with right now. And there's another
Amen.
way of dealing with it. So, I mean, I think in those ways, it's lived out is the best way for us to show God's faithfulness to us, but our faithfulness to him in the lives of other people.
And
That
you
sound
will
like,
feel it. Amen. Amen, Ron. They will feel it because you laid it. And there's no words for watching somebody all of a sudden light up and say, oh, yeah, that's it, Ron. Excuse me, Will. Go ahead.
was great.
So,
I'm sorry, Will. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that his faithfulness is seen in his that he always delivers on his promises. And so
Amen.
some of them are conditional and some of them are unconditional. I don't mean that he backs away on his promise conditional. I mean, when I say conditional, he says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, you know, choose life. So
Choose life.
conditional meaning, if you're gonna follow me, here's this great result. If you're gonna trust me in this area, if you're not, there might be discipline. You know, God is the hardest on his children in scripture through Old and New Testament when they don't take him at his word and believe what he says. They don't trust his faithfulness. And so there's a condition, you know, Peter says, don't treat, I'm paraphr this is extreme Will paraphrase for Peter. Peter says in his letter, don't treat your wife like garbage and then expect God to listen to your prayer. He has this 1 Peter 3:7 at the very end. It says, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And that's basically what he's saying. So that would be what I mean when I say some of his promises are conditional. That's what I mean. Some of them are unconditional. God just says, I will do this for you. I love you. I'm going to do this or that for you. And so I think a big part of reaching people with the faithfulness of God, and Paul, the example you brought up, are the people that need to be assured and reassured of God's faithfulness more than anyone else, more than anyone. And that is, look, God is, like Ron mentioned, God's always consistent. He's never going to go against his character. And so what let's go to his word, and this is where discipleship comes in. Let's go to his word and see what promises he's made us that we can rest our lives on, and know that his faithfulness, his attribute of faithfulness, means he's going to always deliver on those promises. And that is, man, that's there for the person in the middle of just losing a family member. That's there for the person sitting in a prison cell thinking they're all alone, and then they find out there's this guy next to them and they do communion together. You know, this is someone thinking, oh man, I'm never going to get to think that person. Okay, back to my step grandpa. He amazing stories. There are three of them that would make you think that it's not real. It didn't happen, but it did. But one, okay, so one of them, he had trench mouth in the POW camp. And trench mouth, I don't know the bacterial name for it. Dr. Craig may have a stab at it, but it's really bad. Well, if you can cut your gums, it's kind of an emergency procedure to get your gums bleeding. And Dr. Craig, you'd have to help me here. I don't understand the physics behind the biology behind that, but apparently it
Draining
promotes
the
the healing
pus.
process.
Oh.
Are draining the pus?
Okay, and draining the pus. Okay, that's probably part of it. So, okay, so he's got trench mouth, horrible infection. He did end up losing his teeth eventually, and he always had wooden teeth, which we thought was, wow, you have wooden teeth. This prison guard, okay, think of a Nazi prison guard doing this. This did not happen, right? This prison guard gives him his pocket knife. Apparently, they built a friendship, or as much as you can in a POW camp. And so he gives him his pocket knife to drain the pus, cut the gums, whatever the self-surgical procedure in that sort of emergent situation where there are no doctors and it just helps you stay alive and helps your mouth heal. I don't understand, but anyway, so my point is it was a huge help to him at the time. He gave the pocket knife back, you know, and so all these years he's thinking, you know, if I could just thank that guy might have saved my life. If I could just thank that guy. Fast forward years later, my stepdad is with him. I think he's already an adult, but he just happens to be with him. His dad is to go into a new chiropractor. They're in Houston, Texas, is the area they live. Going to a new chiropractor, And obviously this is through, I guess, some sort of military benefits, et cetera. So maybe there's a limited list to pick from. So they go into the office. They, you know, every time you do that, you got to fill out all this paperwork. So they go in, fill out the paperwork. He's with his dad. They walk into the room and you got to wait, right? And most chiropractors are not like Dr. Wassenberg was here in Midland. I was in and out in 10 minutes. I never even spent 15 minutes in that place. That guy was unbelievable. He's retired, but I'm kind of mad at him for retiring because he was so great, so fast. So you go in there, they're in the waiting room. The chiropractor walks in. It's the prison guard.
Oh, wow.
The German prison guard. I don't even know the story. You think that's not possible. He came to America. He somehow got whatever license you have to get to become a chiropractor. I don't know, obviously learned English. He's practicing chiropractor in Houston, Texas, and walks into the. So they sent my stepdad out of the room, and that he said they talked for the longest time with the door closed. And so you think of that reunion and you think, man, look at the, I mean, not everyone has experience like that, but I mean, this just, there's story after story after story, small things and big things where God's faithfulness shows up in people's lives. And, you know, Edward Helbert went through the ringer,
And what are the
but
odds?
God's spirit was there for him
Yes,
in his
amen.
POW.
Like,
The odds.
that's
There's
not okay. Like,
zero.
oh, what a coincidence. You know,
There's
he was
zero.
with God. With our God. There's no odds. There are no odds.
There's zero.
Yeah.
If it wasn't coming from my stepdad, I wouldn't have believed it.
Wow.
And what a
What?
beautiful moment for both of them to have some healing, right?
Yeah.
Think
And
about
his
how
dad was a
profound.
strong believer. There's no way he didn't witness to that guy. I don't know what happened, but there's no way he did not witness to that
I
guy.
believe that.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. I want to put a try another twist as well. I guess in my head, I go back to my prison cell, and at the time you go, okay, if I'm questioning the faithfulness of God, and you part of your brain goes, how faithful can he be when he let you go through all those crazy things and end up in this place, right? And then you're there. There's you have the infirmary where you have guys who have never gone home because they're sick and you know they're probably gonna die there. And you go, okay, if God is faithful, then why is it these things are happening? And then later on in my studying and reading and digging, the question comes, why are you alive?
Yes.
Why do you deserve to be alive? Why do you deserve to be breathing? You know,
Yeah.
what kept you from to 19 and 20? I mean, give me a reason why you should be alive. You should be breathing. Give me a reason why you should even be experiencing this pain or this disappointment with somebody else's life who isn't yours. It doesn't belong to you yet, by the way. It's mine. And you go, it's one of those Job conversations, right?
Yeah,
It's
right.
speechless. It's like, am I faithful?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm merciful. I'm faithful. I'm merciful. I'm loving. And the fact that you're breathing
Yeah.
and it's still here
Yeah. Yeah.
speaks to
Oh,
the faithfulness of God and the mercies of God.
and Ron,
It's like that you say it again. Sorry.
the question's not, it's right in line with what you're saying. The question's not, why does God allow bad things to happen? The question is, why would God bring anything good in my life?
Yes.
I have done this and this and ruined everything. And how would
Absolutely.
he bring, like, back to what you were saying, the fact that I'm here, the fact that I'm breathing.
Yeah, it can. I we, and we just said the same. It's been reiterated over and over again. We bought my wife's mother down to live with us. Just couldn't leave her there anymore. So she lived with us for 3 years, and ended up dying anyway. But even in the midst of that, you know, even when other people are, you know, kind of angry and just distraught, here you have these two people here going, oh well, praise God. You know
Yes,
it's still the faithfulness of
right.
God. She got 3 years of great care and loving on her and experiencing okay, and she knew the Lord, and oh yeah, she died comfortably in our house in our bedroom, not in a nursing home, not in a hospital,
alone.
alone anywhere,
Yes,
right? It's
man.
like, okay, God is being, he's being faithful. And for us, it's like, okay, the faithfulness of God is seeing in the fact that he enabled us, empowered us, and even giving us the mind to even do that with her. I mean, on all levels, it's just, I mean, you can't get away from it.
Can I say two really quick things? I like what you said, Ron, about it being God's character, his faithfulness. And thinking about this as believers, as followers, when we open our heart to Christ and He comes to live in our hearts in the Holy Spirit, I think it's fascinating that the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 that we are given love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if we think we can't do it, that's just not true. It's just not true. The other thing is just a real quick illustration. I found a verse of scripture today. One of the blessings of living in Lompoc is we joked about it, seeing the launches of the rockets. I like to see on Facebook sometimes when people say, "Oh, look what we saw from Phoenix, Arizona. Look what we saw from, blah, blah, blah." And I'm going, "Look what I saw from my backyard, it's really fun." But there's a verse of scripture, and it's in, let me find it for you. It's Psalm 36, 5. This is what it says. "Your love, O God, towers high into the heavens, and even the skies are lower than your faithfulness." Now that's pretty good. I mean, if I go out and look up in the sky, even the skies are lower than God's faithfulness. And to keep those things in mind, it really helps affect positive change. I don't know about you, but I will confess, God's not finished working on me. I don't have this all stuff nailed down yet. But every day is an opportunity, to express what He's given to me in the gift. And part of my response, I think, is gratitude for who He is and what He's done, and to worship Him. To worship Him, to bow before Him and acknowledge that He's the creator of all of this, and based upon His character and His faithfulness. So that's what I want to
Now I
share.
have two things.
That's
I know he
good.
has two things, but one was I walked into my girlfriend's house Saturday morning and there were multiple and one of them said, "Well, what fruit of the spirit are you working on this week?" And they were all being silly. And so I turned around and I said, "Obviously self-control," and then rolled my eyes because does anybody ask for, embracing that one? No. I don't think so.
That's a get
Oh,
wrong.
you work on that, Ron?
Well, you end up in prison when you don't, so it's a personal thing for me. That's
Okay,
essential for me all the time.
I forgot my second one.
Okay, so two things. One is, Ron, Paul, why do we encourage you guys to write books? That's the first one. Second is the answer to Paul's last question, and that is because it's our testimonies in life, our stories in life, that give hope and demonstrate the faithfulness of God.
Okay, now you feel made me feel guilty. Okay, thanks a lot,
I'm
Chris.
sorry.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'll get on it.
Again, I know I just threw one under the bus. Ron, you need to write a book.
And
Paul, you need to
Tank
write a
is
book.
it's they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, which is what you're saying.
It's example, right? When you can live it, the best minister is the one that's been ministered to. When you've gone through life and experience where you're coaching someone else through, you're profound.
I remember my second point, Paul. You said worship, and I've been trying to study the art of war. I have a friend that says we need to understand war in scripture.
That's what you said to the language.
I don't, but Joshua is great. Exodus. The front of the line is worship. So it's the musicians and prophetic. It always starts with praising the Lord before we go in. We think this is the position, right? Fight. Our our fight position is actually glorifying the Lord. What a humbling thing to think about. Because I don't think that's our, that's not my normal reaction. I don't know if it's your normal reaction, right? But it's true. We are meant to worship and we're going to worship something. So let's make sure that it's correct where we're worshiping.
I keep thinking of a synopsis they're giving, Will. He just opened such a great thing here. You know, like, I know people can hear God speak to them. They've really shared it. And being Baptist, you, when we were in school, you had to take your hand and put it down real quick. Remember, Paul? Hands down. Don't raise your hands while we're singing, but get that down. Whoops, there, careful. But now we've realized just how much. And then, like each of you has said, I mean, I'm just getting blessed. How about you? I'm just soaking it all up and getting blessed because he does speak. All they have to do is just hear, like Will was sharing. And then all the truths that you've all shared come flying through. And it's times like this where people really begin to feel who God is. And it's amazing. I'm still like you, Paul. God's still working on me. I'm still in the putty phase. It's I've been in the fire, but he takes it out and says, no, that's not goodness. Let's do it again. So we continue to work on that. So
Act on
didn't want to
the
take, yeah. Yeah, right. We're doing on that. So often we feel about that. That did you say amen?
Amen. Me?
No, you.
She did this.
Spanish.
She did this.
She says stuff in Spanish, Steph, and then I don't know exactly what she says. You know,
She's disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
just
Yeah.
yes. That's
You're a
it.
lump of clay and it's being molded, and you go to the kiln next week.
That's it.
That's more
That's what she said in
Spanish,
Spanish.
Joe.
Well, folks, well, we need to take just a moment. Stephanie, would you do us the honors like you do so well and just tell the people a little bit about us and see if get the word out to them for a moment?
Sure, we would love if you could join us by going to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. That is the website for our program, and you can find all the goodies that there are to find about the program. We have prior shows, you can listen to the recordings, you can learn about each co-host, how to connect with us. There's a link to Pastor Joe's book, to Craig's book. And then there's also all the fancy ways, the snail mail ways, all the ways to give donations. We greatly appreciate that. That does help us stay on the air. So thank you for being generous with your time, your sharing, and your money.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Stephanie. And folks, we do appreciate you so much. We love and thank God for you. Thank you for helping us keep everything rolling with BBS Radio. They are the best anywhere you'll find, and they're worldwide and they're wonderful people. We just love our guy TJ and the whole family. Hey, Will, we're looking at this right now. Give us a you used to could when I got to be on staff with Will, you could pitch anything to him. It always come out first class. He just does an incredible job. Will, take about 4 minutes and give us a synopsis about how you see that faith there as we wind out.
Yeah, I really think this is a unique opportunity for us. I mean, every generation can legitimately say this, though. That's the other thing about God's faithfulness. It's multi-generational. But in our generation, really right now, I think we can honestly say we see his faithfulness. I mean, we see a lot of bad things too because of sin and our disobedience to his character and our not representing his character well. But his faithfulness still shows up through it all. The world, it's on the world scene. We're seeing it in other nations. And I think it's a shame that our media doesn't do as good of a job at reporting some of the things that God is up to spiritually and physically all around the world. Even great outlets like the Daily Wire, you know, Ben Shapiro's group, World News, if y'all haven't heard of them, they have a lot of great stuff. Even great groups like that, sometimes I listen to them and I'm a Daily Wire subscriber. I just sometimes I listen to them and I think, you. I'm sorry that this lady's mom, who's a co-host anchor co-host, is missing. I wish she wasn't. But look,
Yes.
we you spend half your podcast segments talking about, let's talk about what's going on in the world. You know, God is saving Ron. I didn't even know the number was that high.
Yeah.
Millions of people in Iran, and that's just one country. So that's part of it. The home scene, I think God's faithfulness is seen in the home scene, what's going on in our country. A revival in the younger generation. I think we're seeing that. You know, on the church scene, I think I see it too. what we're doing through the local church to disciple people, to be salt and light, I think is incredibly helpful. You're never going to find a perfect church. They say if you find one, don't join it because you just mess it up. But it's you, we see it. And so just a couple things. If you have a relationship with Jesus, then your calling is to share how God's faithfulness has shown up in your life with the people around you who might not know about that. I mean, they've heard the story. Maybe they haven't heard the stories. Maybe they've heard the stories about Jesus, but there's no relationship. And so the third part of Ron's question, that's one of the ways God shows his faithfulness through us to them is communicating the simple, a 4-year-old can understand it, message of the gospel. God loves you. God wants you back. He died to win you back. I mean, it really is that simple. You can go into more detail, but it's that simple. And so, secondly, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I think the most important part of God's faithfulness, if you're listening right now, and that's you, that you'll ever experience, is by receiving his open-handed offer to you of salvation. That is his payment for everything wrong you've ever done or ever could do that he made for you when he gave up his life on the cross.
That's
So if you
right.
don't know Jesus, I think that's the most important calling that he's placed on your life right now is to know him. And if he is tugging at your heart and you do understand that that's coming from him, you can say, Lord, I know that my sin has separated me from a perfect relationship with you. And I've done that. But what you did about it was you lived a perfect life, didn't have to die, but you did anyway. So you're the perfect sacrifice. You died on the cross to win me back to you to pay for that sin. And Jesus, I want what you did there. I want that in my life. I want that applied to my spiritual account. And if you pray that, it's not the magical words, it's not the incantations and the
Right.
mystical. It's just the heart attitude of your realization of your need for Christ. And so if that's you and you're listening, that's, I think, when we're talking about the faithfulness of God, that's the most important first part of his faithfulness that you should experience. Thank
Amen.
you.
Amen. Hey, we love you, Will. That was great. Thanks so much. So glad you're part of our family. And Ron, love you, brother.
We
Good
love
to
y'all too.
thank you, guys, Beth.
Bruce. Amen. Steph, Tank, love you guys. You mean the world. Thanks for your ministry and your blessing. And Paul, we're all praying you're feeling better and love and appreciate you for so long.
Thank
Honey, I'm
you.
sure glad you're here too.
Thank you.
So I thank the Lord for everything he's doing in our lives, and we give him the praise and the glory. So we'll have Will back real soon. We'll just keep roping him all the way and lassoing him in from Midland, Texas. How's that? Texas illustration. Okay, we'll go from there. God bless you and keep you, folks. May he walk with you, make his light to shine on you because you're looking. Look forward to seeing you next week again. Will, God bless you and the family. Hug them all for us. See you next week. Oh, God bless and keep you.
Thank you, guys.
God
See
bless you
y'all.
guys.
Thanks, Will.
God bless you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.